Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. I'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we thank you for taking an opportunity for this hour to join in by phone or by, may you be listening by internet, or if you would like to call in by Zoom so that we can see you face-to-face, you have a choice to do that as well. The Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the passcode is capital P-S-A-L-M, Psalm 23, with a capital P, not an S. Capital P-S-A-L-M 23. And that is the passcode to get in. We'd also like to let you know that you can listen to this message again on the archive. In order to go into the archive, go into Blog Talk Radio. Then type in, "We Can Begin Again," and you can pull up any one of the messages, this message this evening, or any one of the messages. I believe we have over 500 messages that you can listen to, shared with a friend. Amen. There's nothing better than sharing the good news with others. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, of course, you've seen the text. We are in Long Island, New York. Amen. With Minister Edna Herman, a man who will be speaking this evening, and we're looking forward to hearing from her. We have not had her on in a while as a speaker, so it's a blessing to have her on. We go way back through childhood, so I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord has shared with her through the book of Proverbs. Amen, amen, amen. Right now we're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to turn it over to Minister Herman from out of Long Island, New York. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I pray, Father Lord, that you would just humble us, Heavenly Father, that we might hear your word, that we might allow it to be a place in our journey, in our walk with you, that a word that is said, Heavenly Father, like will just build us up in areas and just help guide us through life. The book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for all those who are on, and even all those who wanted to be on who do not have the opportunity, Father. We come collectively as the body of Christ. You say that where there are two or three that come together with sincere hearts, that you would be in the midst. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, as we invite your presence through this hour. We just thank you in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we're going to move on over into New York. And the next voice you hear is Minister Edna Herman. Minister Herman, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, sir. Can you hear me clearly?
Amen. Those on listening on, can you hear her? Be able to
can
hear
you hear
her?
Me?
Yes. Coming chorus clear. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
amen.
Very good. God bless you, Elder Clay, Elder Suzanne. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. First, I give God the glory for this opportunity. To Elders John and Suzanne Clay, hallelujah, the doctors in the house, for this opportunity, this platform of Bible study, y'all. And it's just not a Bible study. We're going to interact. I thank God for Pastor Rose, who I'm filling in for today, tonight. I'm honored that you considered me. And to my pastor, overseer, designate, Dawn Nixon, for her leadership and her green light to come on and go ahead and speak on New Beginnings. So with that said, I thank God for everyone. I haven't been on a long time, but I thank God for this opportunity. Proverbs 15, chapter 15. The title is Godly Wisdom is Life-Giving. And with that, I'll bounce off that already and said that will keep on living in us and through us and will instruct us and embrace us through her advice and wisdom. All right, we're going to go to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this night. We thank you, dear God, for all things that's going to be said. We ask you, Father, to release your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your full right of way in us and on us, not just me, but on all of us. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity. Lord, forgive us for anything we've said or done that wasn't pleasing in your sight. Hallelujah. And we forgive all those that have trespassed against us. We don't want anything to hinder our understanding of your word, our ingest and digesting your word, and everything that you will expound on your word tonight, dear God. We thank you. Thank you for the leaders of this line, dear God. Continue to bless them and keep them. And everyone in the sound of my voice, Lord, bless them, keep them, bless their homes and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a little hoarse tonight, but I thank God that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And with that said, Proverbs. I'm going to give you a little synopsis, and then we're going to dig right on in. This has 33 verses. We're going to try to get through them, but I'm going to need your help as well, because I'm going to need you to read in the King James Version or wherever you want to read, and I'll read from the Amplify, and then we will dissect what the Spirit of the Lord has given us. All right? You notice I said us, all of us. Because this is into action. Okay, what this chapter of Proverbs, chapter 15, this chapter continues a long string of proverbs, short and general cases, expressions of common sense wisdom. A large section of this began in Proverbs 10 through 22:16. Solomon begins with several statements commending self-control, cautious, gentle answers, not to prevent additional strife. They reduce whatever tension already exists. A wise person carefully chooses their response rather than babbling out whatever comes to their mind. And right there, my mother used to say, whatever comes to your mind, don't have to come out your mouth. Closely connected to this is the need to humbly accept correction, Proverbs 15, 1 through 5. And oh, the next we'll read about several contrasts. These compare the righteous with the wicked, using parallel ideas of those who are wise and those who are foolish. These proverbs echo the such as the life-giving nature of godly wisdom. Consequences of sin, the importance of humility, and the value of seeking advice. The majority of this chapter is made up of individual segments of wisdom, with a few repeating themes. Solomon notes that importance of perspective, which is more influential than wealth when it comes to happiness. I like that. Carefully planning, seeking advice, hard work, and righteousness are all commended. Laziness, impatience, arrogance, and hypocrisy are condemned. This chapter ends with these proverbs echoing these reoccurring that sensible person listens to godly wisdom. And this only comes through reverent honor of God. Proverbs 15:13-33. And I'd like to say this. This is the top, the middle, and the bottom line of our reverence and honor to God. Amen. And with that said, we're going to go to Proverbs 15:1. To God be the glory. I'm going to need some readers because I am definitely going to read through the Amplified. So Proverbs, Elder John, could you read for me Proverbs 15:1-4?
I have an outline. I don't know exactly. Someone on, I'm going to ask someone on the.
That's okay. I got it right here. We're going to move right along. I got it. but I'm going to need some readers. Okay, so if I call out the scriptures, please read, because I want to do the contrast between, you know, Amplify and the King James Version or whatever version you're reading. And the Amplify says, contrast the upright and the wicked, definition between the two of them. And that means in the Bible, the upright are hearing to the restitute, that means the behavior that corrects righteousness, honest or just. That's an upright person. Honest means our behavior, and the righteous and honest just. Now, a wicked individual is this, is a mental disregard for justice, righteousness, truth, honor, virtue, evil in thought and life. My God. Sinfulness and criminality. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to be reading. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to be reading in Proverbs 15 and 1. And it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. My God. Do you hear that? It is a breach in the spirit. And this is what the Amplify says. A soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise speaks knowledge that is pleasing and acceptable, but the babbling mouth of fools spouts folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good in all their endeavors. Verse 4, a soothing tongue speaks words that build up and encourage, is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue speaking words that overwhelm and depress, crush the spirit. And I'm going to stop right there. Right there. Now we see in these verses that our tone, how we word things, how we use knowledge aright, because some people use knowledge the way they want to use it for their benefit. But if we're going to use knowledge, we're going to use knowledge in a righteous way, which is the Word of God. No gray area. There is a right and a wrong way. Excuse me. How the Lord, so that's our tone. The Lord examines us. He knows what's coming out of our hearts. He knows the tones that we have. He knows everything about us, y'all. So what I'm saying here right now today is that we need to examine. My mother used to say this, and I told you what she used to say. She used to say, everything that comes to your mind shouldn't come out your mouth. But let this mind be in us that is in Christ Jesus. So what comes out of our mind will bring glory to God. Now, where this says a soft answer turneth away wrath, you know how that can be. If somebody's in a heated, if somebody is angry already and they're talking with you, we have to know how to, we have to know how to bring it down to a place where we can reason together, so to speak. This is what I'm saying right here. This is what I'm saying right here. That tone. We are the ones that need to activate our Galatians 5:22. That fruit of the Spirit, that temperance, that long suffering. We have to know that every spirit that comes out, every spirit that you give out comes back. Every spirit that comes back at you, we don't have to take, but we who have the Holy Ghost will allow that spirit, our soft answer. Look, let me put it this way. We're supposed to be the thermostat.
Right.
In any kind of conflict, we're supposed to be the ones of peace. In any kind of conflict, and I know sometimes it might get hard, but we are the ones that's supposed to be the thermostat that keeps the temperature down in the conversation to bring it down to a cool degree. It's a wise person that catches a fish. And if they're out there and they're not just out there, not just in the world, in the body of Christ. Because sometimes we come up to people or come in contact with people that have the wrong spirit. Maybe they had a bad day or whatever. I don't know. But I do know this. We're the ones that can bring that spirit to a place of peace. I remember a long time ago, my mother had passed away, and the limousine man was late. And when we got to the church, one of the sisters that were there went off on the man at my mother's going home service. She went off on the man, but I got out, and he was getting angry. He was getting ready to leave. I came, and it was the Holy Ghost. I came, and that soft answer. And whatever I said, I can't remember because you've gone over 20-something years ago, it calmed him. I remember it calmed him. And for her, I said, let me handle this. Let me handle this. But she thought she was helping. But what she did was she just added, you know, tension to what already was a sad occasion. So what I'm saying is a soft answer, y'all, can calm the savage beast. A soft answer can turn wrath, or which is anger, into a place of calm. Anybody want to come in? Come in. This is a Bible study. Come on, we're going to interact.
Amen. We're getting feedback off of someone in the background. I don't know if it's someone that's on the phone. If you could, if you have any noises in the background, if you could, mute it. Mics, all mics are open.
You know, amen. I like that a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, you could make a situation so much worse by the words that you say when you're going through something. But if you give it a soft, answer, it calms down everything. So I like what you just said about that. Reminds me, myself personally, if I'm in a situation, I have to remind myself, calm down. Some say count to 10 before you speak. Because sometimes when you speak suddenly, you know, you can make a situation worse. So I like that you said. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, Mother Gloria. And verse 4, y'all, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That right there in itself shows us that not only life and death and life is in the power of the tongue. But we see here in the Amplified, In verse 4, that a soothing tongue speaks words that build up and encourage. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be building one another up and encouraging one another. And have you ever been have you ever been in a place where the spirit is high in a place and everybody's having a good time. And somebody or someone can come in and say something and just change the whole atmosphere. Just change the whole atmosphere. We're supposed to bring life wherever we go. We're supposed to speak words of encouragement and life to anyone that's downcast, anyone outside of the body of Christ or inside the body of Christ. It is our job, y'all.
Amen.
It
I'd
is
like
our
to add
job.
That, Mr. Vermont, that you know, we're looking at in terms of being a tree of life. You know, also looking at it, you know, that there is healing in terms of how we communicate with one another. Words can either encourage or it can depress a person.
Yeah.
The words that we use or what we say. When it says it's a tree of life, you know, when we're speaking that word, when we are using words of comfort, it's a healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a healing.
Mm-hmm.
Emotion, you know, our emotional being. So how we use our tongue to encourage, or we can either depress a person by what we say. So I like that in terms of how we communicate can make a difference in terms of the tree of life. We live by the words we use. Comforting words help us live as well as help others to live and feel more comfortable with whatever the situation may be going through. They may be.
Amen. Amen. I like that, Elder John. That's right. Anyone else? I like that. See, we're supposed to be. Go ahead, Elder Sharon.
I remember when I was growing up, my mother said, "A poison can't argue by themselves. They can stand there and yell and yell and yell if you feel. You don't have to get into it."
I like that.
And, mm-hmm. And that's basically how we were brought up.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted to bring their stuff, their confusion into the house. No. They're going to stand
mm-hmm.
outside.
Mm-hmm.
The older people didn't go for it. And you didn't just come off any kind of way to them. No. You didn't even if you felt like yelling, you didn't yell. And
mm-hmm.
but you learned how to hold your tongue, how to, they were disciplining us, learning how to control your anger and things like that, I imagine. But
mm-hmm.
I think one of the voices, when you started talking, it reminded me of crisis intervention. When we had to take crisis intervention as part of the school programs, and the crisis intervention, they said you go in there and you talk in a low, soft tone. The soft tone turns away wrath. It does.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Bible in control.
Amen. Amen, Elder Sharon.
Amen.
So we see that. Anyone else? So we see that a wholesome tongue, which we should be edible fruit. You know that edible fruit? We're supposed to be edible fruit. We're supposed to be putting out good edible fruit. Not like this other part of this verse says, the perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And we already said that. Mm-hmm. But it does, it brings us down. It's a breach. It's a disconnect. You know, we don't want that. We don't want that. It crushes the spirit. You know, we don't want to, that's what a wicked person will do.
Yeah.
I want to really get down. That's what a wicked person will do. So verse 5, y'all, a fool despised his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips, there it is again, our mouth. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. You know what? Right there. There's treasures in a righteous house. There's treasures there.
Amen.
You know what?
Amen.
You know what? A fool won't take his father's instruction. You know, and it's not just our natural father, our heavenly father. The instructions are in the word of God. This is the instruction. This is what we obey right here. And that, but he regardeth reproof as prudence. We regard reproof. You know what? We can take the correction. God wants to correct us. And when we do, and it humbles us, we're corrected, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go on as men and women of life, productive lives. I really want to get to this. But the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish not so. So we see
that reminds me of the scripture that says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Elder Sharon. I'm glad somebody out there, God bless you, and Mother Gloria. All right, let's go to 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Can you imagine? Let me read number 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. But he loveth him that follow after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsakes the way. But he that hateth reproof, my God, shall die. You know what that says to me? First of all, abomination means that's a thing that causes disgust or hatred in the heart of God. God hates that. Abomination is a disgusting to him. Like Cain, his sacrifice or his offering was a disgust, because you know why? God was judging his heart. You know what? Man looks at the outward appearance. Oh, it looked good on the outside. Oh, I did this and I did that. Oh, here's my tithes. Here's my offering. Or here's something that I did for somebody. If you're going to do it begrudgingly, God has no pleasure in it. It's an abomination. It's disgusting. God is judging the inner man, the intent of our heart, because God sees and he knows everything about us. We can't fool him. We can fool those on the outside that's looking. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees us as we are. We are naked to him. Wow. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eye, but the Lord ponders his heart. That's Proverbs 21:2. God ponders their heart. He knows the thoughts and the intent of our heart. Anybody have anything to add to that?
The scripture that says there is a way out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That there your lips are again. The mouth speaketh. The mouth. You know, blessing and cursing cannot come out of the same mouth.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Any comments from out of Maryland? Any comments out of West Virginia? I see. Any comments? Your mic's open as well.
Amen.
And looking at that, you know, God does know our heart. You know, God does know our heart. We can, man looks at that the action of a person, but God looks at our heart. That's one of the things that we can't see. We can't see a person's heart. We can't see their
Amen.
Intentional or whatever they're doing. We don't know if it's authentic or if it's not authentic, if they're real or they're not, or they call them fake. We don't know that. But God knows mm-hmm. our heart. That's the beautiful thing about that is no matter what we do, we cannot get away with it because God knows the internal stuff. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Hello. And all that good stuff. I was just listening in from work. I was getting off work. And, you know, I am so glad, Minister Mahan, I'm glad to hear from you. I'm glad to one of you all, really. And I know it's been a while, but I've had a long road, and I'm still trying to get through this. But anyway, what I want to say was, so glad that only God can see my heart. We are
Amen.
We are judged already by man so much by human race that if a man can see your heart, just think how much more of an enemy they would be toward. The reason I say that is because men today, not only men, but people, let me put it that way, people today, they don't want to love. And if they can see a person's heart and see the love in another person's heart, then they will be so much more judgmental toward that person than they are not being able to see the heart. So I'm just glad tonight that God knows my heart better than anybody. When I'm wrong, God knows. When I'm right, God knows it. Whether see me, and I look like I'm wrong or I act like I'm wrong, God knows my heart. He knows.
Yes.
Even if I'm wrong, let me put it this. Y'all got me started.
That's good.
Even if you can see the wrong in me, guess what? God still knows me better, and he loves me more. And he's not going to judge me. I don't believe he's going to judge me because there are opportunities for us to repent and get back to God and get close to his heart.
Yeah.
You know, scripture says that what comes from the heart reaches the heart of God. So being mental, and I say this quite often, I hate to even sometimes discern what somebody else is doing or saying or look like or act like because I feel in my heart that I'm being judgmental. And I believe my sister quoted earlier that the Bible says that judge not lest ye be judged. And I know that what Jesus is talking about. But I take it kind of personal because I don't want to judge somebody for doing wrong when you know what? I may be doing wrong.
Yes.
Maybe not in the same sense, but I may be doing wrong. But I just wanted to put that little tidbit in there and let you guys know that no, I haven't forgotten about you guys. I love you. Every one of you as much as I did the day I met you, and I still pray for you, Elder Clay, you and your wife. I pray for you guys' ministry, and it's just been tough working 12-hour shifts.
Yeah.
I'm just right now. So thank you all for listening to me. Thank you all for praying for me. And just allow God. Just allow God in your heart. Whatever man thinks about you or people think about you, don't worry about it. I'm gonna let you go. Here's a good example. I was at work the other day, and a young man, he's a young guy, hadn't been out of the house much, but he was a white guy, and he spoke up. Said some stuff. But you know what? I told the guys at work, you know what? You got to look past that. You got to look past that and see where he really come from or what he's really been trained to do or what trained to think. So I don't let stuff like that, I don't let people judging me bother me because, again, I'm going to go back again, God knows my heart. And I'm so thankful that one day, back in 1996, I had a heart transplant, heart transplant. And my heart is better now. It's better now, hallelujah. It's better now, hallelujah, than it ever has been. So just saying, thank y'all for listening.
Amen.
God bless you, Pastor Robinson. We're so glad to hear you, and we're going to continue to pray for your strength. We thank God for you, sir. God bless
you. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to hear you all. It really is.
Good to hear you.
I've been getting on and listening, just hadn't been commenting. But my time runs out because I get off work late. So, you know, just hollering to y'all before I get in the shower. So thank y'all.
Amen. God bless you, sir.
Amen. And we'll still praying for you and your you know, in Tennessee. And may God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
So we're going to move right along because it is 7:42, but you know what? I thank God. I'm not going to get through it all, but you know what? I thank God for what has already been said and the comments that have been shared. Thank God. So look, I'm going to read 9, I believe, on 9:10. We're going to go back to 9. And I'm going to read from the Amplify. The way of life of the wicked is hateful and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. But he loves one who pursues righteousness, personal integrity, moral courage, and honorable character. There is severe discipline for him who turns from the way of the righteousness, and he who hates correction will die. We spoke about that. He that hates correction, I always want God to correct me. You know what? I always want God to pull me back. I always say, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Because if you leave me to myself, I will be consumed. I will consume myself and consume all those around me because it would be a nasty attitude. I'm thanking God that he changes us, y'all. He transforms us if we want to be transformed, if we want to be righteous in his sight. So number 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? Hell the nether world, the place of the dead, the Abaddon, the abyss, the place of eternal punishment, lie open before the Lord. How much more the heart and inner motive of the children of men? My God. How much more are the hearts? The heart is wicked. the heart can be wicked. You know, it can, the motives in the heart, it can be wicked. But you know what? If we seek God and seek his righteousness, he can turn all that around.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Elder Adam, to God be the glory. Verse 12. A fawner loveth not one that reproves him. Neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. He goes right back to our heart, our countenance. With everything, the issues of life flows out of our heart. Our hearts can be merry, or our hearts can be downcast off. This is why it's good to have people around you that will encourage you, that will build you up, speak a word of life into you. Verse 14, the heart of him that have understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. The heart of him that have understanding seeks knowledge. Seek knowledge. The heart of him that seeks knowledge. We want all our getting. In all our getting, we need to get understanding. In all our getting, we get knowledge. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. That's all they love. They love yip-yap, and they don't even want to hear the truth. But we who read and seek God and seek his truth shall gain understanding. Anybody?
I'd like to add on to that in terms of you're speaking on that in terms of a person with who has discernment looks for more knowledge, looks for people to give them advice, look for greater understanding in terms of how to go about life or how to go through life. They seek more knowledge. And when you seek more knowledge, life becomes a little easier to that person. And it goes on. It says that a person who feeds on foolishness is usually not content with what's going on. They're content with foolishness. They're content with just folly. They're just content with that. But a person who has discernment is always looking for more knowledge. I am always seeking more knowledge, how to do that, how to do better, how to make better decisions, so on and so forth. So when I look at that, that's how I kind of interpret that in reference to my life.
Amen. And the Amplified says it this way. A heart full of joy and goodness makes a cheerful face. But when a heart is full of sadness, the spirit is crushed. My God. A heart full of joy and goodness makes a cheerful face. Their countenance is uplifted. Their countenance within the heart shows out on the outward. But when a heart is full of sadness, the spirit is crushed. The mind.
Excuse me, Minister Edna, but that reminds me of the countenance when people are depressed and people are oppressed or moody. they said, they get so sad that is very evident. That's true.
Amen. So here is number 14, Amplify. This is just what John was talking about. The mind of the intelligent and discerning seeks knowledge and eagerly inquires after it. That was Elder John just said that. But the mouth of the stubborn fools feeds on foolishness. My God. So what we want here, we want to be more intelligent. We want to seek. The word of God says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be given unto you. So we should be seeking more of God.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking more of God's righteousness. Seeking more of his word. Going deeper in his word. Asking him to give us clear understanding of the word.
Yes.
Give us
yes.
a revelation of his word. That's what we want to see. And when we do that, we not only obtain it for ourselves, but we give it to those that we come in contact with.
Amen.
You know, we can share, because we're not supposed to be hoarders. We're supposed to share God. We're supposed to share Jesus. We're supposed to share this word of life. And when we seek after it, when we eagerly hunger and thirst for the righteousness, we can do that. We can distribute it out as God would have us to do that. I'm going to finish with this last one, Elder John.
Can I just read from the Living Bible? And it reads real quick. Says, when a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. When he is cheerful, everything seems to go right. Let me say that again.
Wow.
When a man, person is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. But when cheerful, everything goes right.
Wow.
Wow.
That's good right there.
Mm-hmm. No.
I've seen that within myself, and not now, but I've seen that in people that come in contact, even in my own home.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And you know what happens with that? They get disarray. They get discombobulated. Everything doesn't seem like it's ducks in a row. You know, that was good, Elder John.
The devil surrounds us when we get gloomy, when we get sad, when we have to shake the devil off. He wants us to get so depressed. We get suicidal, some people, and that's how he gets you. He wants to get you so disconnected. This is a good lesson. It's teaching us to keep a good side up, the bad side down.
Yes. This is why it's so important. We are our brother's keeper on this line.
Yes.
Everyone that's hearing my voice, we are. This is why it's so important to ask God to intensify our spirit of discernment. Because you know why? A lot of people that are depressed, they can be smiling on the outside and gloomy on the inside.
You got it.
You know? And if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to heighten our spirit of discernment, they won't have to come. Or if that person comes to our mind, we could just pray for them, not knowing what they're going to go through. Case in point, Mother Poole. I'll just say this. She was on the line the other day, and she was talking about how she was feeling. I got that in the spirit a few days before, and I prayed for her. Now, when she came on the line and said it, I said, oh, thank you, Lord. That's why she came to my spirit. So I'm saying that to everyone on this line. If someone comes to you in your spirit for you to pray, you don't have to know their business
or
whatever.
That's right.
God put them on your mind so you could pray for them. Whatever it is, God knows what it is. Even if you say, Lord, let your will be done, Lord. have your way. Whatever prayer comes to your mind, it's for you interceding for them. Elder John, I am finished.
Thank you so much for your expository on Proverbs 15. I think you did a wonderful job. And for those of you who are listening, maybe you're on the phone or listening by internet or via Zoom, we encourage you to read Proverbs on your own. Take a moment to be 15 on your own. I guarantee that you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Next week we are going to Proverbs 16, and we have none other than Pastor Miles who will be coming on to share with us the word of the Lord next week. So we do invite you to come on. Also, please, folks, just keep in mind that every sharing a word with the Lord, we always have people in our lives that we can encourage. There are people in our lives, friends, family, that we can encourage. And the word is basically give us understanding so that we not only, it is encouragement for ourselves, but is encouragement for others. Amen? The blessing is
being
able to encourage others in our circle, even those that are outside of our circle, just with a kind word, can make all the difference in the world. People are seeking for life, for the riches of life in the wrong places. You know, there's nothing greater in life than to have peace in your life and to be able to speak peace in other people's lives to help them have comfort within their lives. We encourage one another. It doesn't make a difference how old you are. It doesn't make a difference where you come from. We can all be encouragers of one another. And
that's right. That's right.
But we do thank you for being a part of this hour, for coming on and sharing. Even if you didn't, you were a silent listener, we thank you as well. We see some of the numbers from other states who have not said anything at all. But we do understand, you know, as I say, that when you're invited to dinner, if the food is good, sometimes we just don't want to talk. We just want to eat and enjoy the food that we're eating. So I do understand that. I do understand that. So, but more than anything else, we thank you for participating and being a part of this hour. I am going to turn this last part over to my wife, that she can end it in prayer, close it up in prayer. And then we will move on into our music game. Okay? Destiny, so we have Destiny on for the first time. And so we're happy to have you on. I pray that you gained some type of information or knowledge or whatever as you were listening to this, because that's what this is all about. It's a word, you know, that helps us on our journey. But it's so good to meet you for the first time. I pray that God will continue to bless your journey and your walk in life. That will bless you with the desires of your heart. There's nothing greater than when God blesses us with the desires. So thank you so much for being a part of this.
God bless you, too.
We welcome young people. Father God, we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for the teaching this God for this evening, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the seeds that have been planted, Father God, for the discussion, for the insight, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit being present.
Thank you, Father.
All the that have represented in this temple, Father God, that are present, Father. We thank you, Father God, that all of our members, Father God, Father God, dear Lord, and thanking you, Lord, for the teaching. A special blessing for Edna for her teaching of preparation. We thank Minister for your obedience to the Holy Spirit, guide through the world.
Amen. Amen. Once again, we thank you for being a part of this hour. Remember, we love you. Goodbye.
Face the dawn.